on episode 109 of TritonCast, we'll get the scoop on the first UC San Diego team to appear in the NCAA Division I postseason, as we'll talk cross-country with Jordan Haney. With the NCAA Regional set to take place Friday, Jordan fills us in on training, his mindset going into a big race, what it's like for a San Diego guy running in inclement weather, and more. Plus, our popular Quick Pick segment is back this week. We'll put Jordan through the ringer, and you won't want to miss it. Cross Country's Jordan Haney is in the Triton Spotlight this week on TritonCast. Welcome to episode 109 of TritonCast, the podcast for UC San Diego Athletics. I'm Jeff Turiel. Whether you found us on your favorite podcast platform or on ucsdtritons.com, thank you for joining us this week. Before we get to this week's Triton Spotlight, let's go around campus. What a season it's been for UC San Diego women's volleyball. With two more wins last week, the Tritons are tied for first place in the Big West standings. Polina Bailey was named Big West Defensive Player of the Week for the second week in a row, and Audrey Hollis earned Setter of the Week recognition. Speaking of making an impact, that's what women's tennis newcomer Julia Haynes is doing. The grad student was selected by the 10 Big West coaches to represent the conference at the ITA Masters in Georgia. Julia did us proud. She won a pair of matches and came just one win shy of advancing to the NCAA championship. There's a great feature on women's soccer captain Courtney Hilliard on UCSDTritons.com all about her family bond and Triton soccer tradition. Check that out. At this week's University Credit Union Athletes of the Week, our former TritonCast guest Ava McInnes from women's volleyball and Tyler McGuy from men's basketball. Congrats to those two. Now it's on to this week's Triton Spotlight. Our conversation this week is with Jordan Haney from men's cross country. The Tritons recently competed in the Big West Championships for the first time, and this week, they're off to Colfax, Washington to take part in the NCAA West Regional. In this conversation, we get into that along with his aerospace engineering studies and so much more. Here's our Triton Spotlight chat with Jordan Haney. Jordan, what was it like competing at the Big West Championship at Riverside a couple weeks ago?
It was pretty exciting. It was my entire time that I've been on the team. We haven't been able to compete in any sort of championship race. We've always ended the season with time trials, which, I don't know, are kind of fun, just running with the guys, but a little boring. So being able to finally race in this race that I've been looking forward to for 4 years was a little surreal. But beyond that, it's pretty much just a regular race. These guys in the conference are people that I've been racing against for 4 years. So it wasn't anything too special besides just the pomp and circumstance of it being conference.
That Saturday morning in Riverside, was there a different emotion that you were feeling, a little maybe anxiousness going into it? Or was it really just, hey, we were on this course a couple of weeks ago, we know what we're doing here?
Yeah, it was just, we've already been here. Like, that's the course that I've raced the most during college, so I know every turn of it. And there wasn't really anybody new there that I was racing against.
Let's go back to the 4 years you referenced, and obviously we all know about the Division I transition that the department went through and unable to compete in NCAA and Big West championships prior to that. Just how hard was that for you?
For me, I was a walk-on. I didn't even get recruited onto the team, and so nothing was really a given. It wasn't that like I got onto the team looking forward to race conference and then was told like, actually, we're switching to D1 and I can't race. So I know there's definitely been other guys that I've been with on the team who were pretty bummed that they didn't get to race it if they graduated early or have been waiting for this moment. For me, it was just, I don't know, something new and exciting, like nothing. Yeah.
So what was that? What was that walk-on process like then?
So I graduated high school during 2020 and I didn't really decide that I wanted to run in college until basically going into my senior year, which is kind of later than I really should have been looking at it. So I started reaching out to coaches, reached out to UCI and kind of got ghosted by that coach, and reached out to Cal Poly SLO and to Texas A&M and like didn't even hear back. And then reached out to Nate, and he was actually really the only coach that gave me any sort of attention. This was back beginning of my senior year of high school. So he didn't invite me on like an official visit or anything. I just kind of went and toured UCSD. My dad went to UCSD and I'm from San Diego, so it's more just kind of re-exploring campus. I've been here for a while. But I ended up going and having a meeting with Nate at the end of the tour, and basically he told me that he was interested, but I definitely didn't have the times I needed to get onto the team. And then cycle around to that track season, and COVID kind of shuts down all the racing, and I missed my chance to really get onto the team. And so I don't know, that was pretty tough, because it was something that had like really changed in my plan for my future. Like all of a sudden, running college had really become this dream for me. So I remember being in youth group, I had a buddy who he ran track and did football at Oceanside High School, and his parents basically were praying over me and told me that like God knew that I wanted to run in college, that I wanted to honor him through that, and that he was going to make a way where it didn't really seem like a way was possible, because at this point there was like no logical way that I could really get onto the team. And so I essentially just that entire first year at UCSD, I was a NARC, wasn't an actual athlete, just doing classes. And I just decided that I was gonna completely commit myself to getting onto the team. So I was running 100-mile weeks on my own. I was going and just doing solo time trials on the track, running 10Ks. I remember my first 10K I ever did, which I'm a 10K-er, by the way, that's kind of my main event track. First 10K I ever did, I, in true engineering fashion, completely overthought it and thought for some reason that the 10K was 6.2 miles instead of just recognizing that it was 10,000 meters. And so I ran 6.2 miles on the track instead of just an even 25 laps. And told Nate my time, was super excited, and then he emailed me back and was like, "Yeah, but you didn't actually run 10K."
Oh no.
Just kept at it. Found some people that were in the same position as me. Had a buddy of mine, Dante. He ran up at UC Santa Cruz and is now working on his PhD at Scripps. And he ended up becoming kind of like a coach to me. Since he had gone through the same like college athlete process, he was giving me a lot of tips, kind of helping me learn how to really train on my own. And so just kept working at it, started to get some successful times, ended up running a solo 10K that was like number 10 on the all-time list for UCSD. And then one day Nate just asked me if I wanted to have a Zoom meeting. Went on that, and he told me that I was on the team. So that was pretty much it.
Oh my gosh, well, what was that emotion like when you found out that you'd finally made it?
I mean, it's hard for me to really express like the literal amount of blood, sweat, and tears that went into getting onto the team, like the amount of time and effort that I put into it. And so it was just so surreal and exciting to finally see it all pay off.
Many people might think of cross country as an individual sport, and of course it is in many ways, in that you are running and you're going to finish with the time that you're going to finish with. But how is it a team sport? How do you all as teammates push one another and help each other out?
Well, I think if you go to the most basic way to answer that question, like there's an individual time, but who wins the meet is all based on a team score. Basically, your place is the number of points that you contribute to the team score. Top five guys make up the team score, and lowest team score wins. But I think, yeah, I mean, running is very individual. You have to have your own why kind of deeply embedded in you to be able to get yourself to run that distance to go after it. But it is so hard to really do that without having guys that you care about next to you. Like, I know when I'm in a race, I actually get a big sense of calm from having like Zeno and Charlie and a lot of the other guys alongside me. Like, I think of it like, a racehorse with like blinders on. Like, they're my blinders keeping me focused on what I need to do. So it's so easy to get wrapped up and get nervous when you see all these guys that you know are pretty fast racing next to you, and maybe you're wondering like, should I even be up here in this pack during the race? Am I going too fast? Am I gonna die? And then I see my guys next to me, I'm like, well, they're here with me and I know I can do this.
That's really cool. And you talked about when we discussed the Big West Championships at the outset, how you were just on that course weeks prior. Well, the NCAA Regionals taking place in Eastern Washington later this week, another one that you've seen before earlier this season. How can that help you, and how can that provide you that sense of calm, or maybe one less thing to worry about as you go into what is obviously a pretty important race?
Yeah, I think it's just removing one extra factor out of the race planning process. Like, when you go into planning for a race and trying to figure out your strategy of how you're going to run it and where you're going to make your moves to try to kind of blow apart the pack behind you and get away from everyone. There's a lot of things that go into it. It's the course, it's the guys on other teams, it's the guys on our team. If you go into it already knowing the course, knowing the lay of the land, how it feels to go around the turns, like whether the ground is level or kind of bumpy or there's like a weird like rut on one part, like it's really just all about confidence. Like you go into it knowing you've done this before, knowing you can do it, knowing, maybe you think you have like a little bit of an edge on the guys around you because you know this like crazy part of the course is coming up and it's gonna sneak up on these other guys, but you're ready for it.
So then conversely, when you're at a course you've not been at before, how do you prepare for that, or do you?
Well, so we typically, like when we're doing a big travel meet, going to some course that we've really never been on before, we'll usually do our pre-race on the course the day before so that we can kind of get an idea of what things look like. Maybe we're not, racing or doing a workout or doing anything hard on it, which, in all honesty, of course, feels a little different when you're going, recovery pace for a pre-race versus when you're actually racing on it. But I don't know. We'll do what we can to really plan for it, looking at maps, looking at videos, seeing what the course looks like. But if I really go into a race not feeling 100% confident of like I know every inch of this course, I just kind of put it out of my mind. Like, I don't let it bug me. I focus on the things that will give me confidence.
And then similarly, oftentimes in this sport, you are racing in weather. And being a San Diego County guy, we don't have a lot of weather here. So how do you train and prepare for that?
I'm like, you look at the median of the team, and then I'm like way beyond that. I get like so badly affected by cold and by wind and by rain. I'll go visit my family out in Texas during Christmas, and it'll be a blizzard, and I can run for maybe like 20 minutes, and then I have to come inside, and it takes me like an hour to warm up. So it sucks, but it's part of the sport. You just kind of have to deal with it. Layer up, make sure you're like taking care of yourself before the race, wearing enough clothes that stay, will keep your body warm. So yeah, you're not doing all this extra work right before the race, tiring yourself out, trying to stay warm. And then again, it's just like, if it's not going to bring you any sort of confidence, don't let it affect you. Put it out of your mind. Like, yeah, it's going to suck running. Like regionals, it's going to be It started raining, I think, Saturday, and it's not going to stop raining until the day of the race, basically. And then it's going to be, I think, like 43 degrees when we're running, which is not ideal for me. But like, it's the regionals race, I'm not going to worry about it, and I'm just going to go out and race. I find though, like, when it's kind of the opposite way, when it's like hot out or humid, I don't know. I like to just think I'm that much better than everyone else in that weather, and I just let that give me a little extra confidence.
Love it. Our guest on TritonCast this week is Jordan Haney from Cross Country. Aerospace engineering major. Why did you select that?
Well, the funny thing is, I wasn't originally thinking of doing that. Since I was little, I actually wanted to do archaeology because I watched Indiana Jones and I thought it'd be cool to like outrun boulders and use a whip to cross crevasses and fight Nazis and stuff. And then I did Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts and all that. And for this one badge that I was working on, my dad took me to go meet some archaeologists at the Museum of Man down in Balboa Park. And I, talking to them, made the unfortunate realization that none of what Indiana Jones does is what archaeologists actually get to do, barring some like random bizarre thing going on. So it was kind of around then where I decided I wanted to do something else. And at that time, my grandma worked for a big engineering company in San Diego called Dynalectric, which I think they've done a lot of stuff at UCSD. They've worked on the zoo. But at a Christmas party, I talked to a friend of hers who was an engineer, and he kind of explained to me the whole, what an engineer is, what an engineer does, and started to get me excited. And so just going through high school, started to do really good in math and my science classes, and found it was something that, like, not only did I find interesting and would have fun with, but it's something that I could actually use my natural skills to make a real impact on the world around me. And then, like, choosing aerospace specifically was kind of a whim. Like, buildings and bridges and all that stuff, that's been around for a few thousand years. So civil engineering sounded a bit boring and basic. Everyone and their mom is like a mechanical engineer, so that kind of ruled that out. But working with planes and rockets and satellites, that sounds pretty cool. So I just decided to sign up for that.
And is the plan to go into the aerospace industry?
I did an internship last summer, or early this year with the Navy down at North Island. So I was working on doing repairs on aircraft and honestly just had a lot of fun with it. It was cool to see the difference between the way engineering is presented in school and how it's actually done out in the real world. And honestly, it's a lot easier in the real world compared to what some of my professors have me doing, which it was kind of a relief because that would kind of suck if I was scoring 50% on real world tests. But I had a lot of fun there, and I'm right now kind of toying with the idea of going back working at North Island next year, starting like an actual job as a civilian. Long term, I am wanting to do something that kind of bridges the gap between my passion with running as well as with engineering. And so I've started taking some bioengineering classes because I think long term I want to get into prosthetics for the Paralympics team, maybe working on running blades or something like that. Cool.
That sounds amazing. Where did that interest come from? Is that just because you're a runner, or is there more to it than that?
It was mainly because I'm a runner. Like, I love watching the Olympics every time they come around, and then the Paralympics come around. I actually have a buddy who's mostly blind and won gold at the Tokyo Paralympics 1500. And so just kind of seeing everything that those athletes go through, just, I don't know, being able to use my engineering skills to help them become better athletes seems pretty awesome.
Indeed. And I see you have a minor in German studies. Where did that come from? And do you speak fluently?
I would like to speak fluently. My dad went to UCSD, did art, and then he kind of got back into his faith through his grandparents and meeting my mom at church, and ended up doing a master's and a PhD in biblical studies. And through that process, he learned, like, I don't know, six different languages or something crazy like that. I forget what the official count is at right now. And so my early summers back in middle school and high school, one of the requirements that was placed on me during summer break is I could do fun stuff, but I also had to learn a language. And I don't know, Spanish, of course, is useful, but it again seems kind of basic because, like, everyone learns how to speak Spanish around here. So I wanted to do something more unique. And my family's German. My great grandparents on my mom's side came from Munich and Hamburg, emigrated to the US. And so thought, why not? And so I've been toying with learning German over the past probably 10 years and decided just to kind of pick it up again here at UCSD.
That's pretty cool. Are you speaking at all in the house? You try?
I try. I'm not. I love learning languages, and it's pretty easy for me to pick them up. But then if I'm not, like, regularly practicing them, like, I lose that skill so quickly. And last time I took language classes was last fall quarter. So I actually need to go back onto Duolingo and review some over Christmas break before I take my next classes in the winter quarter. So I'll kind of screw around with my dad, and, like, anytime something is said in German in a movie, my dad and I just kind of parrot it at each other. But that's pretty much it.
Duo is a pretty amazing app, isn't it?
Yeah, I somehow managed not to get hassled by the little green owl. It just kind of gave up emailing me at a certain point.
Our guest on TritonCast is Jordan Haney. Let's go back to the trail for a bit and talk some more cross country. In your time as a Triton, what has been your favorite meet thus far, for whatever reason?
All the other guys absolutely hate this race, but I love it. Every time we go out to Missouri, race Gans Creek, it's just the most beautiful course I've ever run on. Like, being from California my whole life, I am completely used to the way that San Diego looks. And so then, like, flying to a place like Missouri and seeing farmland and, like, a bunch of just lakes is pretty awesome. And then going to this course that is just. Well, so in California, we don't really have any, like, pre-made cross-country courses. They just kind of stick us wherever they can find a room. But then you go out to, like, the SEC schools, all these schools that have a ton of money, and they just, like, get a huge plot of land and just build their own cross-country course. And it's, like, a permanent fixture. Like, they don't use that land for anything else. And so going to this course and just seeing, like, pristine mowed grass with, like, these wide turns and everything, like, permanent. K markers and, like, this big stone house that you cross the finish line into, like, just, makes you feel kind of special. I grew up, like, going to school where football was big and cross country was, like, kind of the sport that nobody cared about. And so then you go to, like, this place and it's like, wow, this is, like, actually a sport that people care about. And then, like, also the course plays completely to my strengths, running on hills and just uneven, kind of difficult terrain. Like, I can just race past people the entire time. So historically, I have, well, the two times that I've raced on this course, I've had pretty fantastic races.
Yeah, you had a top 20 finish, didn't you?
Yeah, I finished 17th the first year there. Threw up immediately after the race, just humidity in the heat, and mistakenly ate some fruit salad the morning before the race, but had green arrows every K, past people the entire time. So it was pretty fun. And that first time around, my buddy Ian was watching Gladiator on the flight over to Missouri, and I was kind of watching over his shoulder. And so then we at this course we're just kind of screwing around. There's all these, like, wheat fields, and we're just pretending it was the Fields of Elysium,
Love
which.
that. That's fantastic. What will you miss most about being a part of the Triton Cross Country program whenever your time is done?
I mean, obviously, I think it's going to be the team, because The training is cool, the racing is fun, but I can always just go out and do that. I plan on continuing racing after college. But being with this really special group of guys and the women too, is always the best part of my day. Going, just spending my time with them and being there with them and having them by my side. So I definitely plan to stay in contact with every single person on the team, over the years. Those are people that I want to continue to do life with.
You may have noticed I'm not a cross-country expert, but I do know that most races are first thing in the morning. But the one at Washington State in September was more of an evening race. Is there a difference in preparation, or does that matter to you as a runner?
Yeah, I mean, there's a difference in preparation. I'll say first that I tend to really prefer morning races. I tend to race better with morning races. A lot of it is in terms of preparation. The biggest thing is eating. Like you can't go all wait all the way to that afternoon race and not eat because you're worried about like having an upset stomach during the race or something like that. Like you have to force yourself to eat and continue to prepare. And usually that goes pretty well. But I find for me, if I have a morning race, I can just roll out of bed and I'm not like fully conscious yet. And I can just get to that racing line and just go. And there's not like all those extra thoughts in my head that are causing extra worry or drawing away from my confidence or anything like that. I can just get out there and just start racing and I'm fine. Versus like an afternoon race or a night race, and I'm just sitting there all day thinking about the race. And it's what it is. You just have to do that. We have that for track season. We'll have night, like I've raced at 11 o'clock at night before in track season, which is not ideal, but it's just part of being a distance runner. But definitely morning races are almost unanimously agreed to be better.
Do you sleep the night before?
Yeah, I mean, I don't typically sleep very well. So, something coach has really gotten us to do is to prioritize sleep 2 nights before. So I always 2 nights before the race get 9 hours of sleep at least. And then I get so much like nerves going through me that night before that I'm just tossing and turning and rolling around all night. And usually wake up like hours early. Like I just wake up and try to go back to sleep and wake up every 20 minutes for about 3 hours before my alarm goes off. So,
Have you ever overslept?
oh yes, I had a pretty wild adventure my first year on the team, where we were racing up in Riverside, and that's an early race because of the heat. So a really early leave, really early scheduled departure from UCSD. And currently, I live in San Marcos. I've always commuted down to UCSD, but at that point, I was still living in Carlsbad, which is kind of where I consider my hometown. And I like somehow managed to oversleep 2 alarms and like wake up an hour late. And so I woke up in my bed and looked at the clock, and it was like 20 minutes till the bus was going to leave UCSD. And I was sitting in like inland Carlsbad. So I like don't even put my shoes on. I just throw on like my sweats and a shirt real quick, just grab my spikes and my singlet and run barefoot down to my car, hop in my car. Luckily, it's like 4 a.m., so there's nobody out, but I drive like 60 from my house to the freeway, like not even stopping at red lights. I just kind of like pull carefully through, and then I get onto the freeway and go like 90 all the way down from La Costa Avenue down to Gilman. And I had like adrenaline running through me like the entire rest of the day, but managed to make it onto the bus like about a minute and a half before it left. And that's the closest I've ever been. I've never been late since then.
Wow. Do you have superstitions leading up to a race?
Nah, I don't have superstitions. I have some little traditions. But it's not like I have to do those things to feel ready. Like I'm really big into listening to music. I have a long family history of musicians. And so I just like listening to music, kind of calms me down. I'll typically, I like to pray with my dad before going into a race. But beyond that, no. I'm of the mindset that, those little things aren't gonna affect the race. I have all that fitness built up from months and months of 90-mile weeks and training, and I have that confidence, and I know that I'm a good racer. And so regardless of what happens, I'm gonna show up to that line and be ready.
We're chatting with Jordan Haney this week from Cross Country on TritonCast. You ready for some quick picks?
Yeah.
Ocean or pool?
Ocean.
Indoors or outdoors?
Outdoors?
Guess I probably could have figured that one out. Beach or mountains?
Mountains.
Sunrise or sunset?
Sunrise.
Are you a morning person?
Yeah, I like the morning. I have a lot of good memories that take place at sunrise.
Peanut butter, creamy or crunchy?
Creamy.
Favorite holiday?
Oh, St. Patrick's Day.
Well, that's an interesting choice. I don't know if we've had that one before. Why St. Patrick's Day?
I'm also part Irish, and I like just wearing green, I guess.
French toast, pancakes, or waffles?
French toast.
Reading or writing?
Reading.
Shopping in store or online?
In store.
One place you've never been that you most want to visit.
Iceland.
Love it. Favorite type of music?
Southern blues rock.
That is very specific. Love it. Which one of your teammates thinks they're the funniest?
Two for her, Nathan.
Which teammate is the funniest?
I'd say Zena.
Ice cream, cup or cone?
Cone.
Favorite ice cream flavor?
Mint chocolate chip. No, orange 50-50.
Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Singing or dancing?
Singing.
Which teammate is the best cook?
I'd say Charlie Frank, maybe. Or maybe myself.
Yeah, what's on your menu?
Oh, I like to do some baked salmon, some couscous, cooking like some asparagus in a Dutch oven, maybe like a little cherry cobbler.
Wow. Favorite pizza topping?
Pineapple.
Dreamer or realist?
Dreamer?
Podcasts or playlists?
Playlist.
Texts or calls?
Calls.
If you could have competed in one other sport for one day at UC San Diego, which sport would you choose and why?
I'd do wrestling. We don't even have it here, I don't think.
No, we don't,
But
but that's fine. And why?
well, so my dad and my uncle were both wrestlers, and so I grew up, and they would just kind of, when I was little, teach me wrestling moves. My dad would just like mess around and put me in a hold, and I couldn't get out of it because I was tiny. But I don't know. It's just a fun sport.
Did you or do you watch wrestling or follow wrestling, like the televised entertainment
Well,
show?
not like pro wrestling or anything, but I'll watch real wrestling when the Olympics comes around.
Yeah. What, if you could compete in another event on the track team that wasn't running based?
I think maybe pole vault. It just seems kind of awesome. A little scary. But I've had a lot of friends who've done pole vaulting, and it was just always awesome watching them.
You've never tried that before?
Well, one of my like oldest family friends, his dad was the pole vault coach at my high school, and so I went to pole vault practice for one day because the other 2 miler when I was in sophomore year of high school also would like occasionally do pole vault just for fun. And I did one day and I was like, yeah, I'm all right. I'm better at running.
I feel like pole vault would be a tough sport to learn to get good at. Like the part where you don't really know what you're doing and you're trying to learn it, like messing that up would not be very.
Like a super technique. I mean, everything obviously has technique, but pole vault especially is super technique heavy.
Very impressive. Well, Jordan, thanks so much for the time and best of luck to you and your teammates this weekend. We'll be cheering for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Best of luck to Jordan and his Triton teammates. The NCAA West Regional takes place Friday in Colfax, Washington, with the women's 6K race at 11 a.m. and the men's 10K to follow at noon. Be sure you're subscribed on your favorite podcasting platform so you don't miss a moment. New episodes of TritonCast premiere on Wednesdays. Thanks for listening this week, and don't forget, you can find us on all of your favorite podcast platforms by searching TritonCast wherever you get your pods. And a reminder, you can listen to any of our 109 episodes anytime on demand. Just visit ucsdtritons.com/podcasts. For more on TritonCast, follow us on X at TritonCast. And if you have a suggestion for a future guest, send us a tweet or email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to TritonCast. TritonCast is a production of UC San Diego Athletics Communications. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your platform of choice. If you have show questions or comments or suggestions for future guests, email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. You can also follow the show on Twitter @TritonCast.